one towards the goal. That's going to be blocked by Travis Wigeon.
Well, this is more like it.
This is Slang in the Biscuit. Here's Travis Wigeon and Dave Wheeler.
Ladies and gentlemen, lads and ladies, this is going to be a brand new episode of Sling the Biscuit. I'm joined in person by a guest who's been a friend for many, many years, even before he was an influencer, now probably the number one influencer in the entire hockey realm. In the city of Vancouver, we are coming at you from, sounds kind of gross, from the Weston household, Nick the goalie.
Hey, Trav, thanks for having me, and yeah, I appreciate it. That's kind words, but I don't know about that. just trying to have some fun out here.
This has been an interview I look forward to for a while, because as somebody who, I play hockey, I'm obviously involved in a lot of like the professional side of things. I don't get to talk to a lot of people about the business side, the social media, the creating, and you're probably the only person I really do on somewhat of a regular basis talk to about that stuff. But for somebody who's watching at home, whether it's my mom, my girlfriend, who now you have obviously met, but if somebody's watching this and has no idea who you are, who is Nick the goalie? Give me your elevator pitch right now.
Nick the goalie. Well, less than average beer leaguer. I'm pretty terrible, but I make content online. I mic myself up and just play hockey and just have a good time out there. I just absolutely love the game, love playing, and I just want to kind of remind people to always just kind of, you know, remember the reason why you did it out there. You know, it's why you started to play in the first place. It's just for the love of the game, and I'll play as long as my body will let me play. So
it makes two of us. And so, what drives your passion for hockey? So like you, I know personally that you maybe don't have the playing background that a lot of other guys do, but you have probably more passion than most guys, 90% of guys do.
Yeah, it's, you know, eat, sleep, play hockey. I don't know. It's just kind of always been a part of my life. My mom was the one that got me into it mostly. She's just a huge Canucks fan. Hockey's on, you know, all the time in our house growing up, and she's watching all 82 games a season and playoffs, which is quite rare for them at the moment, but she'll be watching, and always loved playing street hockey after school as a kid, and it's just always been hockey. Always loved the game. It's, you know, I'll maybe drift away from it for a little bit, but at the end of the day, it'll always be hockey. So, like, you know, when I was a teenager, hockey, and I got into biking a little bit, like mountain biking, BMX, but at the end of the day, it always came back to hockey. So,
no pro hockey?
No pro hockey. House goalie my whole entire life. Got scouted once to practice with rep teams, but and I do believe I could have made it back then to a rep team. Like, I'm not saying like an A1. I'm saying like an A2, maybe A3. But at the time, I didn't really want to do dry land trainer or anything like that. I just wanted to play hockey, really. So
you just wanted to stop pucks.
I just wanted to stop pucks. That's all I wanted to do. So I didn't have that drive or commitment to be better, unfortunately, which I kick myself for, you know, every day, because I was just curious to see what would happen. Like, I know I probably wouldn't have made it too far, but you know, just, you always wonder, you know, what would have happened if things were different. But I also believe things happen for a reason, and maybe what I'm doing right now wouldn't have happened if we took that step.
I was going to say, like, the destination you're trying to get to, there's many ways to get there. And although maybe 30, 40 years ago, the only way to get there was, you know, playing in the East Coast Hockey League, the American League, the National League, and making real money. Now, you know, selling T-shirts, selling merchandise, going to sponsored events, getting brand deals, like, you could argue that it is just as good, if not better, depending on who you ask.
100%, yeah. You don't need to take all day to do it. Yeah. Still get to have fun, and you can compete, of course. Like, it's still competitive, but don't get me wrong. I know it doesn't look like that in my videos sometimes. Like, these guys are slow, but that's okay. That's why I love them. You know, still having fun out there, and I don't have to worry about, you know, playing well or the media, you know, talking about my five hole or anything like that. But I think it is almost better, and I think we'll see a shift in the future of just kids kind of striving to, like, okay, maybe I don't really want to go to the NHL. Maybe I just want to be a content creator. I love the game enough, but you don't have to be super, super good to get into the social media space. As long as you make good content and you know, have a good personality, I think you'll do plenty fine.
Yeah. Now, I want to be very careful of my words, you know, careful what you wish for kind of thing. There are times when I watch your content, I think to myself, wow, like that looks fun. Like that, like the innocence and the purity of just, you're going out there, you're having fun, you're playing hockey, you're having a good time, and there's no BS, there's nothing extra attached to it. Like, the, you know, when we're having a morning skate, you show up at the rink at, you know, 8 or 9, we're on the ice 11 till 12:30, go home, eat, pack, ready on the road trip. Like, that's a little bit of a grind, and then I see what you're doing, and I'm like, damn, that looks, like, he's just having fun. There's no extra baggage. And again, like, I'm very blessed to do what I do. I want to be careful just in case, you know, the Lord's watching. It's like, well, careful what you wish for. But I love the atmosphere and the energy that you create when you do your videos. I mean, my stepsister too, she messaged me every now and then. She'll send me a link to one of your videos and say, have you seen this? And I'm like, actually, yes, I have. Right. Or even Victoria, she found a video of some 5 or 6 year old the other day. He was doing basically the exact same thing that you were, talking to himself, giving a pep talk.
I bet you that's Soup Campbell. I don't know his first name, but he's been killing it lately. He's on bar down now, and he's been doing a really good job out there. It's cool to see.
He's like your evil little brother in a sense.
Exactly.
He's just giving himself a little pep talk. He's like, I can do this.
I know. I think it's so great. I love seeing it. So it's cool to see more and more people kind of getting into the hockey space a little bit creatively. So before, it was just like almost damn near impossible to do. Like when you started it was just pretty tough, and there weren't too many people around you doing it as well. So but now it seems to be growing faster than ever.
I think there's more ways than ever before to generate that income and to generate that content. Like when I started, it was, you know, the junior hockey vlog of just throwing the GoPro and in the net and a mic on myself, and that was basically it. Or like doing a review, which I think Jeremy, you know, how-to hockey coach Jeremy, he pioneered the whole industry. Good friend of yours, and shout out to Jeremy if he's watching. But there's just so many more ways. The TikTok dancers, like the hockey guys, the trick shot guys, the always hockey, the Zach Bell. I mean, who would have thought 10 years ago that doing stick tricks would have gotten you a Bauer sponsorship and your own line of sticks at Bauer? Nobody. But you know, he again is a guy who paved the way.
Yeah, exactly. Like I went out for a Global BC interview or just kind of like a news segment, and they brought out Canucks alumni Dave Babich, and we're talking. He's like, oh yeah, you know, if you did this in my day, you'd get beat up. Which is true. Like it's like, I feel like it's kind of taking a little bit longer for the hockey world to kind of accept it, and still a lot of people don't accept it, but it's definitely getting there, which is cool to see. I think it just grows the game, really. Like Zach, you know, with you know, his concussion history and not being able to play the game, but still finding a way to, you know, be creative and stay in the space, you know, that that inspires me. I think it's pretty neat.
You find yourself stuck in the middle sometimes, like when you're posting stuff, you're coming up with an idea for something, and you're like, this isn't typical hockey stuff. Like Dave Babich would say, I would probably get beat up if this was 20 years earlier, but like, this could be creative, this could be different. Like, I don't know, should I post this, should I not? Is there a better angle on it?
Never, to be honest. I don't see it that way at all. And the only time I have a tough time posting is if I just get absolutely smoked like I did last night. But I haven't been posting in a while. My mics haven't been working. So I know even though I got smoked last night, I got to post it. So, and it's okay. Like, I was maybe at the beginning a little self-conscious about getting scored on, but now I don't care.
Can we talk about your only five hole or OnlyFans idea for content real quick? I know you haven't released it, but I think it's one of the best, the most creative ideas I've heard in a long time. So Nick allows a lot of goals, to be quite fair.
Yep.
But his idea was, I'm going to post the TikToks of shouting and screaming and singing random things, but if you want to see me get scored on and nothing but goals against, $5 a month, you join the page, you get access to every goal that I give up, yeah. Uncensored, unfiltered.
Yeah.
So I thought, like, that's genius. I'm sure a lot of people would give a lot of money for like a laugh like that, and not to be disrespectful, but it's just a great concept. I mean, you could be stripping on the internet, taking your clothes off, you could be selling feet pics, you're selling open five holes,
yeah.
Open season.
Yeah, I thought that'd be a funny idea, but I'm not sure if I'll go through with it, but it just came to me one day. I was like, you know what, that'd be kind of funny.
I will bury myself for $5 a month at your pleasure.
Yeah. If you want to see me let in goals, you got to pay $5 a month.
And there's no shortage of this.
No.
But this content is not in short supply by any means.
Oh, yeah. No, like 1 week will be like, it'll last you a long time.
I only skate twice a week. Yeah. Got 30 minutes of content a month. Well, one question I did want to ask you, though, is as somebody who maybe doesn't have that playing background we talked about, you've spent time training with Daniel Wappel, Wops at Increased Performance. You spent time with Pascal Vallona, my goalie coach, who is like the Energizer Bunny that never stops.
Yeah.
Like what has that been like? Because seeing the videos that you post, you're always learning something new. It's just this overwhelming educational experience, right? Mm-hmm. Like if I was to learn basketball, if I was to learn tennis, every single thing that I'm being taught is something new and something exciting. But with the hockey realm for myself, it's just we're always hitting the hammer on the same nail, just refining these small little details. But for you, it looks so exciting because it's like everything is new. Everything is something cool to be learned.
Yeah, like I've been told this before. I'm kind of like a 9-year-old where I'm kind of learning it. Like I chose to be a goalie because I couldn't skate, and I figured just goalies just kind of stood there and just kind of made saves. Like that was the whole reason. And as a kid, I didn't really like going to goalie camps. They were kind of offered to me a little bit, but of course they're expensive, and I didn't really enjoy going to them. It kind of, the energy was weird, like especially as kind of a beginner, you don't really fit in with the other guys. They're skating well, they're stopping pucks well, and there isn't really, or in my experience at least, there wasn't really anybody on my level that I could have grown with. And then just seeing what Daniel Wappel does out there with his students is just... If I had that option as a kid, I would have been there all the time because, he takes it super, super seriously and he takes pride in what he does for sure. But they're having a great time out there. They're laughing. He's building the relationship with these students. That's just, like no other in my opinion. And it's just really cool to see. And being one of his students now, and I'll tell you, I've never learned more than I have with the couple hours that I've spent with Daniel. Like he takes skating super, super seriously, as you should. And he's the guy I need right now because my skating's atrocious. But just coming back from Calgary there, he let me hang out at his camp for a little bit, and he was showing me some stuff on the side as well. And I really felt like my skating improved quite a bit in just that couple hours I got to spend with him.
And like you said, so Daniel Wappel, for those that are listening, maybe don't know, Increased Performance, Western League legend for the, and excuse me, Wops, if I make any mistakes here, Regina Pats for 3 seasons, maybe about 100 games played, Vancouver Giants, Moose Jaw Warriors, and I'm forgetting somebody, Medicine Hat Tigers. Boom, there we go, all 400 plus games. Grizzled vet, very accomplished career, playing for many Western League teams, and now coaching out of Regina?
He's Regina right now, yeah.
Okay, he's a Sask boy.
Yeah.
Province that's a little bit less for the Manitoba, but I digress. But yeah, I'd be very curious to get on the ice with him just to kind of see what he's all about, because he seems extremely knowledgeable and extremely intelligent. And I don't think maybe he shows that side enough. He comes across maybe more online goalie coachy, but like a guy that playing experience, he has to know what he's talking about. So not to digress too much, but I'm very, very curious to experience that.
Yeah, no, he's great. And I remember it was almost maybe about a year or so ago, they reached out to me and they said, hey, we have this, it's called the Goaltender's Playbook. We would love to, work with you on this. And I've gotten those offers before and not really interested, to be honest with you. I was like, what can I really learn from an online, course or whatever? And, but I was like, you know what? I've seen these guys on TikTok. They're great. Let's give it a shot. Why not? And, they're like, okay, cool. We'll send you the playbook and we'll bring you out to Regina and we'll make some content. And, the playbook's unreal. It's very well done. A good friend of theirs shot it and edited it. And, it's really very, very well done. 'Cause he just explains, you got to build the foundation and then just go up from there. And, I've learned a lot from it, and I think my skating has improved from it because my skating's terrible, but I really do feel like it has improved. Just easy to follow, easy to understand, and that's what I like. If you start explaining stuff for too long to me, I'm gonna lose you. But he just, to the point, easy, got it. And I'm not even like 20% through. There's just so much on there, which is super, super helpful, and I think it's kind of the future, really. Like, kids are glued to the iPads, right? It's like, if you can't afford coaching, bring this playbook out with you on the iPad and on an open skate and just learn.
Like the place we live in Vancouver, it's almost like if you build a house on rock, downtown Vancouver, sturdy, never going to move. But if you build it in False Creek, which interesting story is how that used to be all water and they just filled it in with sand and whatnot, this house is going to topple over, right? Mm-hmm. Building that foundation in goaltending. The foundation starts at sheathunderwear.com, the presenting sponsor for this show. Now, if you're new joining the show, Sheath Underwear is cutting edge. They have pioneered this pair of underwear that is so incredible with their dual pouch. Now, the dual pouch is a segregated, separated compartment for your dick and for your balls, sticking to the side of your leg. It is hot in here. Nick doesn't have AC, but I'm wearing my Sheath Underwear. And I'll tell you this, I'm not bat winging right now. I'm assuming you probably are, but we'll get you a couple pairs later. They also have their incredible bamboo mesh technology, keeping you cool, especially in these hot summer days in Winnipeg, plus 30. Wops, probably use a pair. It's probably plus 32, 33 in Regina right now. And you can too. You go to the link in the video description on the video version of the podcast or in the podcast notes on Apple or Spotify. The code BISCUIT69 will get you 20% off the best underwear money can buy, only from sheathunderwear.com, the presenting sponsor for this show. I hope Bob's likes that. I have to get him out a pair or two.
Yeah.
But back to the goalie coaching thing for a sec. And then Pascal as well, like watching the video that you did with him, it's just like he's like the Energizer Bunny. He's relentless. And I think you mentioned at the time you hadn't been coached in over 10 plus years, and he's finally, you know, having at you, shall we say, just an overwhelming educational experience, I would assume.
It sure was. Like, I almost had a heart attack out there. Because like, I haven't been coached in like 15 years. No, like maybe 10-ish years at that time. And I was like, you know what? If I'm doing this goalie thing and I want to make a go at it, I should probably try and improve as best I can before my body starts to break down. So I go out with Pasco, and fantastic. Just so knowledgeable and definitely helped me improve my skating a bit for sure. And he's fantastic. Just like every time, because I made a video with him, and just every time, you know, I went through and, you know, made some cuts or whatever, it's just like he would say something, I learned something new each time that I didn't quite pick up on the ice. But it's so cool to have that that video just to kind of go back and refer to it all.
I've been skating with almost 3 years, and I still, like, whenever we film stuff, there's things that just go right over my head, story of my career. And then I look back at the video, and it's like, shit, like, that made total sense.
It made total sense, yeah.
I was just so exhausted in the moment. I couldn't retain anything.
Yeah.
Just at my, you know, the end of your sponge, like, you couldn't absorb any more, shall we say.
Yeah. One of the directors that I work with in television, her son's a goalie, and she's like, who should I go see? And I was like, you should go see Pasco. And he's been working with Pasco. His name's Donnie. He's been working with Pasco for maybe a little over a year. And I see him all the time on Instagram, and they're winning tournaments with the North Shore Winter Club. And it's really cool to see how he's progressed with Pasco.
Yeah. The next thing I want to talk about was, I guess, the meat and potatoes of today is the influencing realm. So you go from a guy who, you know, just played minor hockey for the most part to you have well over a million on TikTok. You had 500,000 on Instagram, maybe a little bit short, maybe above.
A little short, but that's okay. We'll take it.
We'll chalk it up. Chalk one up right now. And then a quarter on YouTube? Quarter million?
178-ish, I think.
We'll give you two.
We'll call it two.
So, like, how did that come to be? Like, how did you become Nick the goalie, shall we say?
Well, I mean, definitely you inspired me to do it for sure. I've been a fan of your videos for, like, the first video I ever saw was you making the trip down to LA for the tryout, and I thought that was really cool. And then I stumbled upon the junior hockey vlog, says, oh, that's a really cool idea, I should give that a go. And being in the television broadcast background, I have all the equipment I need to get it working, so I just had to rig it up in my chest protector. And I started in 2017 actually, and things didn't really take off, and I kind of wanted to explore other options, so I did, and kind of left the Nick the Goalie thing behind for a while until about March 2020. And I had a couple friends say, hey, you know what, you should try that again, it was really funny and we really enjoyed it. And but instead of YouTube, I put it on TikTok. And
now, why TikTok though? Like, what was the light bulb that went off that said that is where it belongs and where it should go?
My idea was a newer popular platform, maybe they'll push it, you know, maybe they're kind of looking for stuff to push right now. And since it's kind of newer at that time, let's give it a go. What's the worst that could happen? And uploaded one of my teaser videos that I posted to Instagram, 7 views. I was like, okay, maybe this thing's just not going to work. And I don't think about it for 3 or 4 days. And then I was at work one day, and then all of a sudden my phone's just like going absolutely nuts. And that video that I posted was just going crazy, and going for crazy for me was like 1,000 views. I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. All these people are coming here now, and all they're seeing is one video. I need to jump on this quick. So while I was at work, whipped out my laptop, took my hard drive, quickly made another TikTok and TikTok, and then put it on TikTok again. And that one surpassed that view. That one's views in 10 minutes, and just went up to do, I think, 300,000, which was absolutely insane for me. Like, I think I had 500 subscribers or 500 followers, and I was on top of the world. I couldn't believe it. So,
and what did the first video do?
The first video, or I guess the second video did.
But the first video did how many views?
The first video, I think it ended up doing maybe about 100,000 when it was all said and done. But then the second one that I uploaded just passed that one so fast, and people were loving it. So, continued with that until the pandemic shut me down. So,
and out of business. Like, like, don't mess with the Zohan, the going out of business special.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything must go.
So I was like, well, I can use some of the older stuff I have, but that'll only go so far. And then it took a while to kind of get back out on the ice. And once we were back out on the ice, it was a little bit slower to kind of get things rolling again. And then eventually it started to take off again. And then it's been kind of growing steadily ever since, which has been unbelievable. It's been crazy.
And we'll get to that in a second. But one thing that I wanted to mention that doesn't get talked about enough is, as much as, you know, you have success with the TikToks and the short form of the yelling and the screaming and the singing on TikTok, you have this arsenal and this toolbox of videography and photography skills that you've showcased on your full form, like long format video YouTube channel, but you never get to show that to the masses.
Yeah, it's true. I've always been super passionate about cameras, photography, videography. But it's funny because the stuff that I'm doing now, I never thought I would ever do, because I thought I'd always do, oh, really cinematic. I only shoot in S-Log 3 and whatever. But now it's just like GoPro, super, super wide, 1080p, call her a day. And but I do definitely miss that side. And I do like to show off the B-roll side of thing that I like to do every now and then for the YouTube videos. Like when I was kind of starting on YouTube with the gear reviews and stuff, I'd always like, oh, I'm gonna bring out my lights and do some nice B-roll, but thinking that would take off, but it never really did. So it seems people are more interested in like the kind of raw, quick and dirty stuff than the super produced stuff that takes a lot longer to do.
Well, I remember when you first started doing that and seeing the like the B-roll you mentioned, or the lighting, just all these elements of the videos were just so well done, but only getting like 500, 1,000 views. And now, fortunately, with, you know, your short form stuff taking off, the algorithm has grown to support the long stuff a little bit more. Like your long format video of the NHL All-Star game doing 25, 30, 20,000 views, whatever. And all your stuff seems to be hitting in that 10,000 plus range,
yes,
which is awesome and very well deserved, because your long form stuff, I think, is better than your short form stuff. No disrespect.
No, I appreciate that. That is actually the ultimate compliment. I mean, the long form stuff is so much harder, especially for retention and stuff like that. Like my YouTube retention on my videos right now are 80% or more, which I'm very happy with, because that's where Mr. Beast says you should be. And then I love that guy. But I really want to be focusing on the long form content, because it's fun to do. It's fun to do. I feel like I want to tell a story, and I think it's kind of harder to do in 60 seconds, because I know if I do something that's more than 60 seconds, I kind of lose people. So
is there a reason why you're going after the story side of things?
It's just, you know, you told me that. And yeah, and you're right, because you know, people love a good story. And I've been really studying Mr. Beast for the last probably 2 years now, and I would really love to kind of do something similar to what he's doing. And he tells a good story with every video. Like I remember the first video I saw of his was the Squid Games one. And I see it's 25 minutes. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to watch this whole thing. But he just found a way to, you know, he just finds a way to hook viewers in and just keep them watching. And that's what I would love to try and replicate. But easier said than done. He's kind of mastered it. So
that's very true. I wasn't fishing for a comment, by the way. Just for the record.
But you did, though. I remember we were driving back from the Giants game or whatever, and we were talking, and I was like, yeah, no, you're right. You're right. We should be trying to focus on story, because everybody loves a good story.
Well, and on that topic, that's a great transitioning point, because I found personally through my YouTube journey, if you want to call it that, that when I started trying to sell the story over everything, it's when things started to fall into place, viewership started to come in, and ultimately the full-time income came as well. Obviously, a long sample size of work, but it really helped to kind of hook people in. And I think with that, with your stuff as well, like getting that story out there would really, really help. And I guess my next question is, are you a full-time TikTok or full-time content creator, or are you part-time? Like, what is the description right now, the status?
I would like to say I'm part-time. I'm definitely not full-time. My current career is I'm a freelance video engineer, so I work on television broadcasts. I basically do like the color correcting for live TV, and then during the day I engineer video signals and send and receive to wherever they need to go. And I love it. It's a great job. I've been very lucky with it. I'm the third generation, which is really neat. But I still had to do my time, though. I did about maybe a year to year and a half of 12-hour days coming in on my own time, learning the job. And you know, eventually somebody got sick, and I busted my ass even harder that day. And I've been on the call sheet ever since. And You know, it's an absolute great career because I don't have an education. I had no interest in school. I was always terrible in school. I didn't want to go to post-secondary. I just wanted to kind of get to work. And yeah, it came to the point where, like, when I was in high school, I was actually working some TV gigs. I would go up to the teacher with the form saying that I'm going to be away for a couple of weeks. They're like, "You're working again?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm not going to college. I need the job." Yeah, it's fantastic. It's brought me around the world, and it's going to continue to bring me around the world, which is really exciting. But my focus is to try and make hockey my full-time thing, whatever it may be. I know the social media thing won't last forever, but if I can be smart with the money that I'm earning with Nick the Goalie, and the dream would be to have my own facility one day. So if I can stay in the hockey space for the rest of my career, I'd be plenty happy with that.
And do you have a plan to go full-time right now?
Kind of. So my whole end goal with this thing is to get more people into hockey. That's by, you know, helping try and lower the costs a bit. I wouldn't have been able to play hockey without support from my aunt and uncle in Calgary. I really wanted to play hockey as a kid, kind of later, like maybe around 9 or 10. But it was like a long wait list to get in, and they're like, "Oh, you want to play? We'll get you into the North Shore Winter Club." And they got my family and I into the North Shore Winter Club, and, you know, helped get me into hockey, helped with the gear, helped with the coaching, and the occasional coaching that I got. And I just want to pay that forward, because the game, I think, is starting to get a little out of reach for how much it costs. And it's kind of sad. So I just want to make sure that everybody can have the opportunity to play. So I think my current plan is to apply for charitable status and then try and create a charity that helps, you know, provide, you know, the underprivileged kids that would, you know, have families with like 6-7 people in it that, you know, they can't afford to play hockey. They can't afford, you know, $500 skates for a kid. And I just want to help.
Do you want to expand a little bit on the cost of hockey and the rising cost of just not being able to get people in, the barrier to entry?
Yeah, it's crazy now.
Like, what are you seeing? Like, when I tell you going to sign up for AAA, you go to the tryouts, you make the team, $10,000.
That's exactly it. I just remember listening to that podcast with you and Pasco, and I just couldn't believe that. I was just like, who can do that? And I live in Vancouver, and I'm, you know, in a basement suite right now, one bedroom, one bathroom, and paying more than most of you are probably paying right now for.
We're in the bunker right now.
And it's like, how can you, you know, do 10,000 and sticks break, and sticks are a couple hundred bucks now. You can't pick up a stick for $80 anymore or whatever it was. So yeah, I'm just kind of looking to help, because I'm sure there's so many talented kids out there that just can't get a shot, unfortunately. So, and that kind of breaks my heart, because the game has just brought me so much in my life. And I think about the kids that, you know, haven't had that chance, and it just makes me sad. Like, I wouldn't have, you know, met my wife if I didn't play hockey. I wouldn't have, been, you know, Nick the Goalie if I didn't play hockey. I wouldn't have some of my closest friendships if I didn't play the game. So I just want to help is basically what I want to do while I'm still relevant.
And happily married to the Mrs. Nick.
And happily married for 6 months now. So
hi, Stacey. just to tell that story that you mentioned real quick off the top, the cost of hockey, I believe that was episode 6 with Derek Bougin. I could be incorrect, but when I played AAA hockey, this is like 10 years ago, playing for the Winnipeg Hawks, made the team. My mom cuts a check for $5,000. And at the time, it seemed like an astronomical amount of money. And then last summer, I was told by a couple of players in Winnipeg that are playing AAA and, you know, prep academies and whatnot, that same AAA that has been watered down with a couple more teams so that the talent pool gets dispersed out over more teams is $10,000 to $15,000 a year, depending on the team. So you're going to be getting more ice time, more travel, more perks, obviously going to be paying more. But so I heard that, and I found that it was mind-boggling. And I went home to ask my mom. I said, "Mom, you cut that check for $5,000. If they told you it was 10 to 15, could you afford it?" And she says, "Absolutely not. You wouldn't be playing hockey for that price tag, because although that money gets you in for the season, gas money, what about training during the off season, a trainer in the summer? Like, the reality is, you know, from my experiences, you know, training guys and whatnot, the kids at, you know, 15 to 18 that are doing great things, they're spending money on a trainer all summer long. So dish out $2,000-$3,000, dish out the a pro level gear, what are you sitting on? Maybe $10,000 a gear at any point in time, plus all the other stuff. Like, you're looking at realistically like a $40,000 a year, $30,000 a year investment to have a decent opportunity to play in good hockey, let alone the prep academies that are, you know, $60,000, $70,000. I had a kid the other day at one of the skates that I was doing. He plays at the Burnaby Winter Club, and he was trying to convince me that his parents get him free ice time all the time. I said, well, no, they pay $70,000 a year, and then you get free ice time, which has been paid for by the $70,000. But as you were saying, just the costs are getting astronomical, like $2,250 for a set of pads. I think Bauer just had the Hyperlite 2 priced at. Skates, just everything is just astronomical. I mean, even a blocker is like $600 now, as opposed to when you and I were growing up. Because you're a 95 and I'm a 96, correct?
Correct.
Was 300, 350?
Yeah.
Just crazy, the cost.
Yeah, I remember my poor dad had to buy me two sets in 1 year because I grew so much. I feel so bad for the guy.
Pro level or no?
Sorry?
Pro level or no?
No. I think he got me Sherwoods at the time, which at that time, they were my favorite pads. I absolutely loved them. But then it was like, I grew so much and they're like, okay, we got to get you a little cheaper, and got some iTechs on sale. I love those ones too.
Were these like the Sherwood Cerberuses, or were they the like Craig Anderson Sherwoods?
I don't remember. But I remember the goalie that I was sharing the crease with that year, he had Sherwoods, and I had RBKs at the time. And he says, oh, what? How are you liking the RBKs? I was like, oh, I love the RBKs. Luongo wears RBKs. And then he says, the goalie makes the pads. The pads don't make the goalie. You got to use what works best for you. And that's something that like has always stuck with me ever since he said that. And next thing I know, I'm in Sherwoods that year.
Well, and a little trivia fact for you. Do you know the last goalie to win a Stanley Cup wearing Sherwood pads?
Who was that?
You have any guesses? Wasn't that long ago.
Was it not long ago?
Nope, wasn't that long
ago. I have no idea.
2010, Chicago Blackhawks, Antti Niemi.
Oh, no way.
Yep, Sherwood, legend. Stocks did not go through the roof. Quite the opposite. Actually, funny little story before we transition back to the influencing stuff. When I toured the Vaughan factory in London, Ontario, they have a whole like wall of posters of Vaughan greats, all of which never finished their career in Vaughan. But guys like Kiprasov, Murray, Price, like cup winners, all these guys that no longer wore Vaughan or whatnot. But I just found that it was...
Yeah, those names are, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm a kid again. Yeah, Mika Kiprasov, oh my gosh.
Kipper. I remember the Flames announcer, whenever he'd announce his name, like Mika Kiprasov, he just had this like growl, this like sandpaper finish to his voice. And it was just so well fitted, as opposed to the guy for the Florida Panthers announcing tonight. He's just got a little high-pitched, little softer pronunciation.
Yeah, I actually have a signed Kiprasov stick in my parents' house right now.
Oh, what a legend. Apparently, I know this is a little PG, but or maybe not so PG, but apparently the guy could drink like there was no tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
From what I'm told, like, that guy could, like, nobody was out drinking Mika Kiprasov. He could have been a member of Motley Crue and you wouldn't have known the difference. Oh, man. You seen the movie The Dirt, right?
No, I haven't, actually.
The Dirt, Motley Crue? Okay, well, the manager for Motley Crue, he was manager for Kiss, for Ozzy Osbourne, and he says, I have never been put through the things that Motley Crue put me through. He said, do not leave your girlfriend around Motley Crue, and I'll let you finish the rest for yourself.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the influencing side of things before we get too off topic here. I wanted to know, like, what does a day in the life of Nithigoy look like? I mean, you have this incredible editing studio right behind us that obviously you can't see on the camera, but you have the studio for editing, you're making the content, you're traveling all over the world, you're raking in these awesome sponsorships, which is so awesome. But, like, what does that day in the life look for you when you're doing all this stuff?
It all starts with a day that I'm not working, really. I just
kind of thought you were gonna say a balanced breakfast. I drink orange juice.
Yeah, you know, a couple slices of toast, some scrambled eggs, and I've actually been trying to do the Gordon Ramsay scrambled eggs, which I think I'm starting to get the hang of quite a bit.
A little creme fraiche in there.
Yeah, a little creme fraiche in there, a little chives, and no, she's good.
More of a Heston Blumenthal kind of guy, but
honestly, I'm more of a lunch guy. But yeah, no, I just kind of wake up, do your typical normal people stuff, and then I don't really do too much until hockey time comes around, really. Like I try to, you know, try to eat before the game, try to stay hydrated best I can, and I like to get to the rink about an hour before and meet up with my buddy Matt. We're hockey obsessed and we love being at the rink, and yeah, we just go stretch and tape the stick or whatever you got to do and make sure the gear is all good to go. And cameras charged, of course. Cameras and mics are charged. That's very important. There's a lot that goes into the hockey editing and camera side that a lot of people don't really notice. That takes time out of your day, especially the editing. But you know, you gotta, you know, I play hockey this day, I gotta make sure my batteries are charged, I gotta make sure my mics are working and whatever, and so, and that you remember all that stuff, and it's in the hockey bag, and you gotta make sure the suction cup mount is working, or for my case at least, because I put the GoPro on the glass on the inside of play, which is risky, but nothing's happened to it yet, but knock on wood. Yeah, and then just I don't put it up for warm-ups because I don't trust the guys I play with. I'm sorry.
Bad idea. Really bad.
I only, if the camera's going to die, I'd rather it die during the game. Yeah, so take a warm-up. And then I hate going down and warm-up. I don't like butterflying right off the bat. It just, and they all try to deke me. And it's like, no, just put it in my hands for crying out loud. Oh, my God. Like, the best warm-up I've ever gotten was from Pavel Barber, actually. Like, he knows how to warm up a goalie. But anyways...
how so? Like, what does he do that's so great?
He's shooting at your hands, and he's, you know, just, that's the big one for me. Just shoot at my hands. I don't want to go down. Like, I remember watching Jonathan Quick warm up, and he's not going down. Everything's just getting shot at the hands, and I don't like to go down in the butterfly for the first, like, 5 or 10 minutes at least.
I got to say, when we're doing warm-ups for, you know, not pre-game skip, but, like, before the games, right? Yeah. The actual warm-ups, there's no better feeling than having three guys line at the blue line, unloading just the deadliest clappers, yeah. All right at the gloves.
Yeah.
Everything's coming off crisp. Everything's in the glove, and you just skate off like a beauty.
Yeah, you're feeling good. You're feeling
good. Really good. Confidence is sky high, yeah. Before I get up 7.
Yeah, so then grab the camera from the boards. The mic's already on and recording, and stick it on the glass and hit record. Make sure you're recording. Do your what's up intro, and then just play hockey. And then after that, take the camera down, go back home and sit down. And I could probably edit a TikTok or a reel in about an hour and a half now with my new computer. It used to take me a little longer, but now just that's scrubbing through the whole video. That's tweaking the audio. That's color correcting a little bit. I do color correct a tiny bit with my videos. And then posted the next day around 11 p.m. Pacific, or sorry, 11 a.m. Pacific, or yeah, between 11 a.m. and 3 is kind of where I like to post, and seems to do well for me. I know some people say it doesn't matter, but it kind of does okay for me, so that's when I like to post. So, and then it's, you know, trying to respond to the comments, which I've been absolutely brutal at lately, and I hate it. Like, I feel bad because I want to get back to absolutely everybody, because I feel like everybody deserves an answer, but it's kind of getting a little overwhelming right now.
How many comments are you getting a video usually?
Couple hundred, and that's per platform too, and it's getting a little tricky too, especially if kids are just saying hi. Like, I want to say hi back, but you know, if you're leaving like a pretty good comment, I'll most likely respond. But if it's just a hi, it's kind of getting harder to say hi to lots of kids.
Just one emoji, beat it.
No, I appreciate you watching, but I'm sorry I can't get back to you.
My next question is, so you're doing all this work making this content, but how exactly are you making money specifically? Because like, obviously to be a full-time, money has to be coming in. It's great to be doing it for the passion, but to go full-time, you have to be making money.
So absolutely.
I guess my question is, how are you going about doing that?
Right now it's a tiny bit of AdSense, which isn't a lot. And then the occasional brand deal, which they're great to get. They're great to get whenever I can. So it definitely helps make the dream become more realistic whenever I get a good brand deal. So.
And when you're getting these brand deal offers, like how do they come in? How do you negotiate? How does it go from a generic email to pen to paper, cash in hand?
Yeah, so I brought on a manager now. His name's Brody, and I brought him on about I think almost a year ago now, and he's been so great. He's really well connected in the space, really, really good, and he's helped get a couple things that I definitely couldn't have got on my own. But it definitely started out with me kind of getting things on my own, but he takes care of the negotiations because I fold pretty easily, and and you know, takes care of the emailing, and then I just have to basically create the content, upload it, make sure that the brand is happy with it, and or make sure the brand is happy with it before I upload it, of course, and then we come up with a posting date, and that's kind of about it, really.
I mean, you say you fold over and he's, you know, a little bit more of a stern negotiator. Do you have an example that comes to mind?
I don't know. I'm just not good at negotiating.
Tell them companies, this is what I'm worth. I'm not taking a dime less. Here's how it's going
to
be.
That's what I want to say, but I'm not good at saying that.
Well, here's the price, but it could be flexible. But
at the same time, I see, like, I think, like, I've worked really hard to build this channel, and if you want an ad on it, you're gonna, maybe you should pay a little bit for it.
that's the kind of way I see. I get daily tons of things, emails on the daily from companies that want to work with me, but they're offering me commission and stuff like that and not truly investing in me, and I'm not interested in stuff like that unless it's something that I use or I've used before.
Well, it's more so the two things that we talked about before we started recording was, if you're not willing to invest anything in me in the sense of give me a dollar or anything, why would I invest anything in you? I'm giving you a free ad. And, you know, it's great. You want to give me a 30% commission, but if nobody buys, I don't get paid. And I just gave you a free ad and I pissed people off and they left. To the other side, though, at least just for me personally, the companies that have been with me since day one, they will get free advertising. They will get the best deal, probably a better deal than they should get, because they've been so good and so loyal and so supportive through all of this. As opposed to if you're emailing you today at 1 million TikTok followers, well, you're going to pay for that. If you hop on the train at 5,000, I got you. You know, let me know what you need, but you'll still pay. But it's the business side.
Yeah, exactly. And I always want to be as fair as I can too. Also, you know, it's my page, and I really, you know, the audience is the most important part, and I don't want to, you know, make them upset with just a whole ton of ads. At the same time, it'd be nice to be kind of full time, and you can't really do that without those the help from the sponsors for sure.
Well, would you agree that no matter what you do for ads, whether it's a Sheath, a Manscaped, a Nick's OnlyFans, whatever it is, you're going to piss people off. But it's, can you do it in a way that you generate enough money coming back that it offsets the pissing of them off and ends up still in some way balancing out to still grow the audience?
Yeah, exactly. Like I want to try and you know, work with brands that that'll let me have creative freedom the best I can, at least. Because I want to revolve it around hockey still. It's a hockey page. I can't just do an ad for a vacuum cleaner. You know what I mean? I need to have a way to that, you know, that hockey's surrounded by the ad the best I can. Because I don't really want to put people off with just a vacuum cleaner ad, you know?
Depends on the vacuum cleaner, but...
Depends on the vacuum cleaner.
And the brand. What's the vacuum cleaner doing? Is it any good?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, if they're like, hey, you know, we can definitely do something around the hockey with it, then yeah, absolutely. I'm so happy to work with you. And if they let me have the creative freedom, but if they're just like, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to be here, then that just kind of restricts. And then I don't really want to do it, you know? That's the way that I kind of look at it. And it's not like, I said it on the last podcast, and I kind of sounded a bit arrogant. Like, I don't need it right now. I mean, I would like it, but I don't need it because I have my full-time job.
But you don't need the money.
I don't need the money. I've got my full-time job right now, but if I want to transition, I know it's kind of a trickier one to handle.
It's that balance. But one that does come to mind is, and maybe this is a bad example, but Coach Jeremy, again, shout out to him. I remember he did an ad like 4 years ago, maybe 4 years plus, for NyQuil. And I've never seen so much backlash ever for people just grilling him for selling drugs to kids, which, I mean, it's NyQuil. It's, you know, if you're sick, just take it, whatever. But that is the example you're talking about of am I going to piss everybody off? They're going to be pissed off. I'm selling NyQuil to kids and they never come back again. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. There's definitely a couple brands that I'd be worried. Like I'd be worried about like alcohol, because I don't even drink, but I don't want to accept anything like that.
That's one question I did want to ask, though. Like, is there like a boundary? Like, if let's say I'm Budweiser and I say, hey, I'll give you X amount of dollars to promote our new, I don't know, apple flavor, Swiss cheese flavor beer. Here's a crazy amount of money. Here's $10,000. Will you take it? And then you're like, well, my audience is kids. Kids don't need to be exposed to that. Or like a gambling company, which that I mean, different topic for a different day, but like to expose like a 10-year-old to join, betwhatever.com and spend all your money because it's about to be, you know, legal and you're not gonna be able to advertise anymore, but to get in while you can, like you're gonna piss so many people off and you ruin, not even the people that unfollow you, but you ruin that credibility of this man will sell anything and everything for a price and doesn't have any standards or, you know, any moral compass, shall we say.
Not
to ramble too much.
But. Yeah, no. Yeah, stuff like that does kind of scare me a little bit. I've turned down alcohol brands in the past. They've asked me, hey, you know, do you want some of our new product in exchange for whatever? And I was like, I don't drink, but I appreciate the offer. I think I appreciate you thinking of me, but I'm not interested.
Any companies you can name?
I won't name them, but I have turned down one or two before. So.
Hard alcohol, beer, seltzer?
A beer, yeah.
Okay. And then as far as sponsors go, do you remember your first sponsor?
I do remember my first sponsor.
Actually. Tell me about it.
It was Great Clips, actually. And that was an unreal experience because I had no idea what I was doing. I remember they emailed me and they're like, send us a media kit with your, you know, with everything on there. I was like, what on earth is a media kit? And then I talked to a couple other people who've been in the space longer than me. And they're like, oh yeah, a media kit is your rate with your analytics. And actually one lady came up with the price for me. Yeah, she did all the work for me. I really appreciate her for helping me out. And she came up with a fair price and they said yes. So, but yeah, it's a ton of emailing, a ton of, you know, but they liked every, like, you have to submit the video and they tell you, they flag a couple things if it's, you know, if there's like, oh, we don't like this part or this part needs to change or this doesn't work or whatever. Sometimes you have to refilm them and, but, at the end of the day, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to do something a little different like that. And, it was fun to work with Great Clips as my first one. So.
Do you think that's where you really earn your money and the details of, you know, this logo showing, you have to blur it out. This, we don't like this. This doesn't flow well. This isn't what we're looking for. We need a better shot of this, better shot of that. We're looking for this. Like, that is really where you earn your money.
Yes.
Although, you know, many people may see it as, say, hey, Great Clips paid you to go get your haircut for, you know, $10,000, whatever it is. I know you're not going to pay $10,000 by Great Clips, but you're making that 10 grand when you're doing the edit, when you're, you know, going back and forth with all the details they want, because they may have, like, I don't know if you had the same, but there have been a few companies where I've worked with where they have like a checklist of like 200 things and you're like, okay, check. Oh shit, I missed this. Gotta go back and do it. And it's just, it's a lot. It's not, I'm not complaining because it's an amazing job, but it is a lot and overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah, it definitely can, because there's some things that are just kind of like, oh really? But at the end of the day, you know, they're paying you to put an ad with their product and it's got to be top notch. It's got to be to the best of your abilities, and is what I believe. And I try my best to deliver in a fun, creative way, the best I can with whoever decides to work with me. So.
And if you're paying money, I'll make it like Burger King. You can have it your way.
Yeah, exactly.
Any way you want it. The word's a journey.
Yeah, as long as it can still be centered around hockey a little bit, I'm happy. So.
And have there ever been any sponsors that have kind of had an influence on your output? On, like, you have an idea, you want to post it, and they say, well, we want to tinker with this, tinker with that.
Not really, actually. Everybody's been really, really happy with what I've created for them so far. I haven't ran into anybody that's like, oh no, this isn't good, do something different. So I've been pretty lucky that way. One of the most recent campaigns I did, there's lots of other big name celebrities on there. And they've been flagged more than I have. Like, apparently, like, I was told that I had the least amount of red flags for my videos. So, that's good.
Did you say which sponsor this was?
I won't say the sponsor of this one, but,
you say which celebrities were on there?
DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled, another one.
Kris Jenner.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy once I found that out, but,
that's a good company to be in.
Yeah. But they had more red flags than I did. And I'm just like, I'm by myself and Brody. It's Brody and I right now. And it's like, we had the least amount of red flags versus all these guys that have big teams. And, you know, I'm pretty proud of ourselves for that. So
no, in the last little bit, you've been flying all the way around the world, it seems like. You're going to the NHL All-Star Game, the recent Bauer event last weekend. You're at the Goalie-Palooza with Pro Skate Goal in Calgary last year. You went last weekend. You're going to Tendyfest this week. Like, you're going everywhere.
It's a busy hockey week right
I'm
now.
Running out of air in my lungs describing all these events you're going to, but, like, I'm assuming that's Brody having an influence, like your agent on getting things done, or, like, how is that coming about?
Yeah, for sure. He's definitely been a huge help with stuff like that. The Pro Skate one, I feel like, is more myself. The Tendy Fest is more myself. But he's definitely helped me with Bauer and getting me out to lots of great events. NHL All-Star Game was the biggest, probably one of the biggest ones. The top hockey trip of my life right there. Brody's been incredible, and I love working with him. But yeah, got a really busy hockey week coming up, and I'm excited to go to Tendy Fest this week too.
You're putting those Apple AirTags to use. we'll get to that
in a
second.
We'll get into that in a second. I can't wait to talk about that.
I did want to say, for the record, the guys at Pro Skate Goal, although the guys like Nate and whatnot, maybe not my biggest fans, they put out some seriously funny stuff sometimes. Like some of the stuff they did this one, like a little skit. I think it was, Eric Nagy, I think, yes. Was the one that he did. And it was just making fun of a junior C hockey player who comes in. He's, kid's going to Europe, got a couple offers in the Kazakhstan 18 division or whatever it was. And I, obviously it was a little bit of a shot at me, but I thought it was one of the funniest things that they'd ever posted. I don't know if it was them or Eric who made it, but that and just some of the others.
Yeah, I think it was kind of a collaboration between both of them. And yeah, Nags has been, he's been coming out and he's been grinding hard on the content. And it's great just just how he's like, smooth talking to just it's funny, I get a kick out of it. But yeah, no, Pro Skate puts out really good content, and just being actually at the events now, and they just have so much passion for the goaltending community, and it's really cool to see in person.
I would argue that, or I agree with that, but argue that there is nobody else in Canada who has as much passion for goaltending probably as Pro Skate Goal. They're a dedicated goal company. They're not like the hockey shop where we're a goalie department within a hockey shop. They are a goal specific store, if I'm not mistaken. They don't have a hockey side, right?
They have a hockey side, yeah. So I think it's Pro Skate 4. I think it's just called Pro Skate, I believe, and then there's Pro Skate Goal. But both of them, like, they're all there helping goalies on and off the ice, and they're helping the vendors load out the gear. Both the goalie side, the forward side, they're all working together, and everybody's working hard, and it's really cool to see.
They putting you to work there, having you drive the truck or bring gear in, or what are they having you do?
No, I did, Stace and I actually helped Bauer unload some of the stuff, which is fun. It kind of felt like my living room right now, because they gave me some sets to give away to some kids, which I'm really excited to release that content. But yeah, just opening up boxes, help display, and help parents sign out the gear for the kids. And I'm just encouraging people to go try out the Bauer stuff while I'm on the ice. So
just picturing you sitting on a big pile of money in the office of Pro Skate Goal, and somebody walks in, here's your coffee, Mr. Weston. How do you take it? Two cream, two sugar? How would you like it? Peter Martin, or having Nate or whoever, you know, bring your coffee. But as far as these events go that you're flying to, like the NHL All-Star Game, tell me, how does that start? Who reaches out? How do you negotiate? Like, you're getting flights covered, you're being compensated for a hotel. Like, give me the breakdown of how that works.
Yeah, so it was just an email out of the blue from the NHL.
This is their marketing department, or?
Yeah, their social media department reaching out and saying, hey, could we have a meeting with you? This was, I think, back in October. They're like, hey, we'd love to have a meeting with you. It was just a Zoom call. Met with them, and they're super great. And they're just like, yeah, we want to, you know, start posting your stuff. Are you okay with that? UK sending us some stuff that we can post on the NHL social media. I'm like, of course I am. Like, who doesn't want to have their stuff on the NHL social media? And then it posts, and you know, it does pretty well, and beats McDavid highlights, which is pretty pretty wild in my opinion. And then a couple months later, it's like, hey, we'd love to have another Zoom call with you. How would you like to come down to the All-Star game? I was like, obviously, yeah. And canceled all my work for that week, and flew down to Florida to join some of the other guys that I didn't meet at the time, like Zach and Swaggy. And oh my God, I love Swaggy. So he's so, if that man had like a reality TV show, I'd be watching every episode. I love that guy.
For those that don't know who you're talking about, we're talking about Pete Lenz, goes by Swaggy P Online, out of Vermont, I believe.
I believe so, yeah.
Played in the American League, was a point, I think almost 2 points per game in the ECHL, lit it up over in Europe, is 5'4". You give that man 5 inches, I mean, give anybody 5 inches, but give that man 5 inches specifically, National League player. He's not coming to the All-Star game as a influencer. He's coming as an actual talent. Like, he's so,
like, that man's passion for the game is on another level. Like, I feel like mine's pretty good, but his is just on a, he just loves the game, and it shows, and it's just so cool to watch. And he's pretty darn good too.
He's pretty nasty. Little nasty.
Yeah, just what he can do with just the twisting the puck around on the blade and flipping it out of the midair and then twisting it, and just like, it's just another level. And then when you see him in game action too, just as good. It's just, it's so fun to watch. Not fun being a goalie and watching, but it's good to be a part of, for sure.
And I don't know about a lot of people, but I think he changed my perspective on the Zach Bells of the world, the stick trick guys, because although Zach did play Junior B for, you know, a short cup of coffee, in my mind that doesn't register as like, this stuff works in a game. When I see Swaggy P doing this stuff, and I see he played in the American League, the East Coast Hockey, like, this guy knows how, like, he's played the highest of levels. This guy knows how to execute and pull it off in a game. And he is pulling it off in games when he's doing three ice or whatever other events that he's doing. But he's just incredibly talented, incredibly skilled, and you know, he's doing pretty well for himself.
Yeah, no, he's doing super good. They have two facilities now, I believe. And
Elevate Hockey?
Elevate 02. And I would really like to get down there one day. It looks fun, but that will require just me getting lit up even more than usual, unfortunately, but that's okay. It's all in good fun.
Well, Swaggy, if you're listening, we need a flight for Nick. You got to bring him out sometime. You guys worth the money. But so the NHL, though, so they fly you out, right? They cover the flight?
Didn't cover the flight. Everything else was covered for the most part.
Covered the hotel, the meals?
Not meals, but yeah, the flights we had to pay for ourselves, which was totally fine because I'm not going to say no to getting a chance to be around the NHL and get to be on the ice with some of my favorite creators and some of my favorite NHL players. And I'll have to tell the Luongo story.
I was going
to
say, you want to tell it right now? You got to meet your childhood idol, Roberto Luongo, there.
Yeah, so when I was a kid, I met Luongo. My dad was a cameraman for Hockey Night in Canada, and I remember he woke me up at like 6 in the morning one day. He's like, hey, I'm interviewing Luongo today. You want to come? And I never jumped out of bed so fast in my life. So I did get to meet him one time, but actually getting to have a conversation with him, you know, as an adult now, it was a dream come true. Yeah, I skate over him and just introduce myself. He's like, oh yeah, no, I've seen your videos before. I was like, no way. I couldn't believe it. I was trying my best not to cry there. But he's like, oh yeah, you know, it's good stuff. I'll give you a follow. And I was like, yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I'm not thinking this guy's going to follow me, but sure enough, after the skate, he followed me. And
Instagram, Twitter,
Instagram,
TikTok?
Instagram, he followed me on Instagram, and he's actively following me on, like, he's following along my honeymoon, he's following me, you know, I click the stories to see who views every now and then, Strombone One has viewed your story, and he's like, you know, it's so cool, just awesome. Like, it's cool to see. And then getting to meet his son as well, he just comes skating up to me, he's like, are you Nick the goalie? And I was like, yeah. He's like, I'm Gianni Luongo. I was like, no, you're not. He's like, I love your TikToks. And I was like, oh, I couldn't believe it. It was one of the craziest moments of my life, for sure. And
that is the full circle moment, though.
It sure was. Yeah, it was unreal. Like, there's footage of me somewhere on the internet right now just being extremely emotional after that whole skate. It was just a whirlwind of emotions, and it was the coolest thing.
Like, have to send me that video after. We'll put it on the video version of the podcast. Here's a grown man crying.
Grown man crying after meeting childhood hero.
Words of warrant, cherry pie. Tastes so good, make a grown man cry. But a couple more of the events that you've been to, you were flown out by Air Canada to go see the Canucks game in Los Angeles recently.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was yeah, Brody helped with that one for sure. Love my Canucks, and they know that, and they're like, do you want to come out and you know, join the fan flight? Is like, oh, that sounds like a great time. They're like, yeah, you can bring a plus one. So my wife Stace and I went down for the weekend, and it was awesome. You know, we got the flights, got the hotel, and tickets to the game, and a little private suite to go and get food in the intermissions, which it was very well organized, and you know, rides to and from the airport, and that was fantastic. It was
great. Awesome. We got 12 fans, and Nick and his missus are two of them, so this will be an easy selection.
Yeah, it was fun because on the bus, once we arrived in LA, they were kind of introducing everybody on the bus and how they got to be there, and they're like, and over here, Nicholas Weston, also known as Nick the Goalie, and I was like, oh, no way!
So, and this is his missus, too.
Yeah, because most people just see the back of my head, so they don't really know what I look like, so.
That's Nick's neck. I recognize that neck.
Yeah.
Not as sunburned as it usually is.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man, in Florida, we just got burnt.
I was going to mention, you were in Florida, so you're probably very in character.
Yeah, no, we all got terribly burnt in Florida. Yeah, and then I also decided to play ball hockey on the beach, which I didn't really want to pass up the opportunity, but man, it was hot.
And you were a tomato after.
Yeah, I sure was. Went to Costco and got the big thing aloe vera.
But like the 20-liter jug.
Yeah, exactly.
Brought it back home on the plane. Yeah. It's a $50 import fee.
Yeah.
But the most recent one you did, I guess, well, a couple of recent ones you did, was the Bauer Hyperlite 2 demo. Yes. Demo event?
Right? Yeah, Hypefest, yeah.
Hypefest. You want to talk a little bit about that? How that came to be, start to finish, why you went, how you went, who invited you, what did you do?
Yeah, well, I got to meet a lot of the Bauer people at the All-Star Game, and they said, oh, we've got this event in June. We would love you to be there. We'll keep in touch about it. I was like, okay, perfect. That sounds amazing. And sure enough, got the email saying, we want you to come to Toronto, and it's going to be, you know, we're celebrating the 25th year of Vapor, and we want to show you guys what we've created with the new Hyperlite 2. And it was just such a fantastic event. Like, I've never been to the Hockey Hall of Fame before, and they rented out the whole facility, and we got to try out the sticks, and we got to, you know, see the gear up and up close, ask questions, and network, which was really fantastic. And also got to meet a ton of creators that I've gotten to like speak to online, but I haven't met in person yet. And it was a truly great event. So that was the first night. And then the second night, we actually got to get demo the gear on ice and get our content, and then followed by a game with the content creators, as well as OHL prospects that are supposed to get drafted this year. And that was fun. That was great.
Now, to back it up, though, so a rep reaches out to you, a social media specialist, like who reaches out to you to have you come out?
Yeah, one of the reps reached out to me and said, we would love you to come out and hear the dates. Can you make it? And absolutely, I can make that. So.
Okay. And this is Ian, the rep that we talked about earlier?
No, it's not Ian. It was Ricky. His name's Ricky.
Okay. I don't know who Ricky is, but we'll pretend we know who he is. Good-looking guy. And so Ricky says, come on out. We're going to cover the flight to Toronto.
Yes.
Okay. Set you up at the hotel.
Yes.
And then you get some demo gear.
Yeah, well, you know, I already had my goalie gear with me, so for the most part, but they also provided me the new Hyperlite chest protector, and they provided me a stick to go out there with, which was, I love the gear. It's great.
In addition to your PAG glove blocker that they hooked you up with, correct?
Yes.
So you're Hyperlite 2 head to toe, essentially. With a few exceptions.
Yes, exactly.
And so they have you out, you get the 2 days, I'm assuming meals are included, and you get to go on the ice, meet all these cool people. Be a part of, I'm assuming they're shooting a promotional video, which you're going to be in?
I think it'll be some promotional stuff. There had professional photographers and videographers out there and creating some content for themselves. And it's just really fun to be a part of. It was great. And the gear is fantastic. Super, super light. Pads slide nice. Blocker just... The rebounds are like, see you later. Never going anywhere near you.
I gotta say, I just ordered a set 2 nights ago, the Hyperlite 2 pad and blocker, and just the normal glove with my 580 glove. Yeah. I'm like so excited. So you're getting me more excited to get it on the ice.
People are kind of surprised, though, because I actually ordered a mock glove.
Why?
I love it.
You're a lunatic. You're a maniac.
I love the mock glove. I demoed it at Goalie-Palooza last year and absolutely loved it, and ended up going with the mock glove in a single tee.
You didn't know the Vapor 90 was an option, the 580?
Yeah, I kind of wanted, I was curious about trying it, but I was like, you know what, I kind of want to go with, you know, what I've been catching pucks with lately, because my previous Hyperlite glove, I was having a tough time catching pucks with it, unfortunately, but then when I demoed the mock, I was like, okay, I can catch with this, so decided to go with that, and been really enjoying it.
Awesome. And then another one that you did, I guess, this past weekend was Goalie-Palooza, which you went to last year. But you want to explain kind of how that came to be as well? And then we'll do Tendy Fest too, kind of the same package?
Yeah, so Pro Skate invited me out. They invited me out for the last couple of years.
In Calgary, correct?
In Calgary, yes, at Winsport Arena. This year I had WestJet credits that I had to use up. And I was like, when's Goalie-Palooza? I'd love to come out. So they gave me the dates, and I was able to use up those credits because they were going to expire, and I wasn't really going to go anywhere else. I bought tickets to go see my wife Stace when she was living in Calgary for school in 2020. And then WestJet's like, you got to use these credits up or else they're just going to go away. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to book a trip to Calgary real quick. And then WAPS was going to be out there as well. So I was like, oh, this is going to be perfect. I go to Goalie-Palooza the Saturday and go see WAPS on Sunday. It's just a big demo event. Lots of brands are there, like Bauer, CCM, Brian's. Vaughn was there, I believe. And then goalie coaches and,
what kind of goalie coaches?
I believe they're Apex, Apex and top, I don't know.
Top shelf, yes. Brad Kirkwood, I believe.
I believe so. Yeah. I'm not too familiar with the goalie coaching out there, I'll be honest. The guy that painted my mask, Dave Freed, he had a little station set up, and I got to talk some more and talk about my future new mask coming up. So, it's just a really great event. And I say to all the parents there, because they talk to me for a while, and they say, oh, you know, my kid loves your videos, and start to get to talk to the parents a bit. And I say, you know, your kids are so lucky, because I would have loved to have had a demo day when I was a kid, because there was nothing like Tendy Fest or Goalie-Palooza when I was growing up. I would have absolutely loved to have been able just to go booth to booth and just demo everything and see what worked best.
It's incredible. I think in the last 5 years, the demo days, or 5 years previous, they didn't exist.
Yeah.
But now everybody's doing the demo days. Toronto, Winnipeg, even Winnipeg, Regina, everybody's doing
them. Yeah, absolutely. The demo days. It's such a great idea.
I think an even better idea, though, the Beard Hedger from Manscaped.com, the second sponsor for this show. We'll tell you about it. So if you are in the market, like Mr. Weston is possibly, for a good trim, thing that keeps everything tight, keeps it right, whether you want a level 1, level 20 trim, the Manscaped Beard Hedger is exactly that. 20 lengths, 90 minutes of battery life. That thing is a beast. It's an absolute beast. It just runs through the hair, literally like a lawnmower or a weed whacker, shall we say, and is the best beard trim that money can buy right now. You can go to a link in the video description. I got the taper here too myself with the Beard Hedger just for this morning, just for you.
Oh,
for the missus as well, but for you specifically for today. But if you go to the link in the video description, there's going to be a code BIZKIT. You're going to get 20% off the Beard Hedger as well as any other products at manscaped.com. And if you're on the Apple or Spotify version as well, podcast notes, you just click on there, pull over in the car when safe to do so, and you'll get 20% off the Manscaped Beard Hedger and all their incredible products at manscaped.com. And thanks to them for being a partner for the show as they have for the last little bit and into August. So shout out to Manscaped. But so to get back to the demo days, though, you did Goalipalooza 2 years in a row, and then Tendy Fest is coming weekend. This is the first time at Tendy Fest, and you have your own booth, correct?
This will be my second time at Tendy Fest. I went, I think the last one was 2019, and they haven't done one since the pandemic. And I won a 3-pack of Warrior Sticks from that Tendy Fest too, which was great. appreciate the sticks. But this time, not to my knowledge that I have a booth, but I'll be roaming around. I'll be on and off the ice, and I want to meet people and talk to the fans a bit and get some pictures, sign some autographs, whatever it is, because I have all the time in the world for anybody that watches the videos. So I think it's really important to just take a little bit of time out of your day to say hi or take a photo. It's super, super easy to do, and I think it's super important to do as a creator. You got to be able to do stuff like that. Like, you reply to every comment.
I try to.
Yeah, no, you do a fantastic job at it, and I think it's really important to kind of...
Sometimes I say things I shouldn't say. I look back, I'm like, shit, I shouldn't have said that, damn it. Just chirping this like 12-year-old kid.
Well, if they chirp me, then I'll chirp back. I kind of welcome those comments, actually, because then I can get creative with the chirp, which is fun. But
you get to clap back?
I like to whenever I get them. It's fun. So, and it's part of the game, right?
What's the best clap back you think you've ever given somebody? Like the best, like, mic drop, roast, see you later, get out of here moment?
I have no idea. There haven't been too many, but a lot of the time, people are defending me, and they're just calling, "Oh, what, you don't know what you're talking about? Get out of here! You're so miserable, and you're the problem with hockey or whatever." That's the stuff that's kind of funny to see, actually. That people,
when the army comes in to defend you,
to my aid, yeah. It's like, this guy sucks. They're like, what are you talking about? You suck. You don't even play hockey here.
Or somebody's commenting, and they have like 3 posts, no followers, no following, and no profile picture. And they're like, exactly. John Smith, 69.
Exactly.
Like, I know who you are. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Loser. Like somebody commented, this is more of a regular occurrence recently, but somebody comments like, you don't play pro hockey, you suck. I'm like, okay, well, let's compare. Like, how much money have you made this season playing professionally? Well, you play in a men's league. I'm looking for a dollar figure. That wasn't the response I was looking for.
Yeah.
Dollar figure.
Yeah.
How many zeros? That's all I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And then they never reply back. But, but so for the Tendy Fest, you will be there this week, and you'll be a guest wandering around and whatnot.
Yeah, wandering around. I thought it was just so funny that they posted special guest Nick the goalie, and then like the next day, special guest Ian Clark. I was like, well, wouldn't he technically be the first guy? I would think he would be, right?
Well, they have many guests. I think the in-goal guys, they're going to be there as well.
Yeah.
Kind of have a little bit of everybody.
Yeah, but I just kind of found it funny that the way they posted the order of the special guests, because I don't think I deserve to be the first one that they post about, but...
Well, clearly they beg to differ, and they disagree. I think you should be up there.
Yeah. And I commented as soon as I saw that post that Ian Clark's going to be there. I was like, oh my gosh, is he actually going to watch my goaltending? And I was like, eek, that's not good. That's not good.
Well, no disrespect. I'm looking forward to seeing you there on Saturday, getting a picture for us together, but I think Ian Clark is probably number one, and then 100%. you're number two. I'm just so curious to pick this man's brain on goaltending, on just the... He's just such an intricate thinker, next level, just a obsessed energizer bunny of information.
Yeah, I just get so fired up whenever a Canucks post a video with Ian Clark and Demko. It's just like, it's so good to watch. So much fun to watch.
I mean, the work that he did with Bobrovsky in Columbus and just now in Vancouver with Demko, I mean, you could argue that all the Canucks goalies look the same, but they all are huge 6'4", 6'6", goalies, but he's a world-class goalie coach.
Yeah, and how about Seelovs? Because I believe Seelovs was an Ian Clark request.
Yeah, from Latvia.
Yes.
Taking them to the bronze medal?
Took him to the bronze medal. Played lights out.
Not a big deal. Well, anyway, this has been very fun having you on, my friend. I appreciate you coming on the show. I know you're on the previous version, but it's nice to get you on the new version. It's just you and I sharing an in-depth conversation with the social media world, influencing and all that kind of stuff. So if for some reason somebody has never heard of you, they don't know who you are, where can they find you, where are you, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you'll find me Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, at @NickTheGoalie_1. If you want to watch some less than average, not very impressive goaltending, but hopefully have a laugh, that's where you'll find me.
And you got a blue verification check mark now?
I just got it yesterday, so I'm it's exciting.
So there's no mistake in any of the burners or the anti-fan pages. There's one and there's one only.
Exactly. So now I can feel a little better about doing giveaways. So. And I want to say a shout out to the guy in the combine, by the way. I love that guy.
Who's that?
The guy that listens to the podcast while in the combine.
Oh, the tractor combine. Tractor guy.
Yeah, yeah. Tractor guy or whatever he's driving. Yeah.
Oh, God. I can't remember his name. I think his name is Blade.
Blade. Yeah.
What a name. Anyway, shout out to all the viewers. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show with Nick Weston, also known as the Goalie TikTok Star. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a like, hit the subscribe button. If you're on Apple or Spotify, hit the review for a little 5-star review. And this podcast, Sling the Biscuit, drops a new episode every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 in Winnipeg, 9 in Calgary, 8 here in the West Coast in Vancouver. And I look forward to seeing you next week for the next episode. Nick will not be there, but I will. And I look forward to seeing you then. Boom. That was probably like a good like hour and a half.
Yeah, that was a good one.
My hip was getting so sore. I was like, we gotta end this soon.